Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILA.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our next guest from FSN Detroit, Ryan Field. Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Well, you didn't have a game last night to worry about. You're going to have one tonight. Tom's on his way down there.
You know what? That's a good question. I actually spent the night in the friendly confines of the Kellogg Center. I'm up here for a very good friend of mine from college's wedding. That's where I'm calling you at from right now. We were up hitting up the old stomping grounds here in East Lansing, some of the local establishments we used to frequent as college kids.
That's scary.
So it was turn back the clock night here last night.
Well, Jim Leland didn't have to face the media after a game last night, and I don't know what he had to eat. Normally he's got that big plate in front of him when he's doing the post-game interviews.
Yeah, we always look forward to see what Jim is going to have in his mouth after the games. It was funny because last year, John Keating, when he threw to our segment with Leland, he said, it's time for our post-game chat with the skipper, or as we like to call it, dinner with Jim, which is kind of funny. So kind of summed it up in a nutshell.
Well, are you surprised by the Tigers' play since the All-Star break? Now, they've won a couple, but one on that long skid coming out, and I remember Lynn Henning writing that the Tigers were going to be below 500 at Labor Day.
Well, with their schedule and the way they played, their schedule that lies ahead, that's a very realistic possibility. I mean, am I surprised that they lost seven in a row? No, but I am surprised that they lost four in a row to Cleveland out of the gate. I mean,
right.
You're going to go through slumps in a season. I mean, normally they've done a good job in the last couple years anyway of limiting the damage at four or five losses. But to come out and lose four straight to a last-place Cleveland team, and really just the way that they lost, very lackluster performance. They weren't very crisp, a lot of mental mistakes. It just wasn't a sharp series for them coming out of the All-Star break. And Leland, to his credit, you know, fell on the sword, took all the blame as the manager of the team, and you know, they need to start playing better. I mean, they rounded it out with, you know, two nice wins over Texas and then on Thursday against the Blue Jays. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But when you look at their schedule, 31 straight games against teams with winning records, starting with that Texas series, I mean, it's definitely going to be a daunting stretch here for these guys. And we'll really know come August 20th or so whether they're still going to be in the race or not. I mean, if they can get through this stretch, you know, maybe still being only three or four games back, I mean, they're going to be really happy with that.
Ryan Field, our guest on the Jack and Tom Show. It's Tom here. Ryan, I wanted to ask you, though, acquisition-wise, we're trading deadline, what, about a week away? Is there, what type of activity is going to happen in terms of what the Tigers might do, as in acquiring or dissing?
That's the million-dollar question. I mean, I don't think – I mean, Dombrowski, this is the first time I heard him say this. He came out the other day and said that, you know, before the season, we were viewing this as a transitional year. And he hadn't really said that, at least publicly. I know that was some of the thought process amongst the guys that cover the team, that, you know, with all the salary coming off the books this year, $60-some million coming off the books after this season, that, you know, they knew it was going to be kind of a transition year. But for Dombrowski to come out and say that, I thought that said a lot. But he also realizes the situation that, you know, Chicago and Minnesota, much like the Tigers, are all flawed teams. And they're right in the middle of this thing. So at this point, they might as well go for it, but I don't think you're going to see them mortgage too much of the future to land a big-name guy. I mean, if they can find a way to improve their team without giving up a Jacob Turner or an Andy Oliver or Ryan Strebe, I think they would go ahead and do it. But where they're going to go, bullpen, starting pitching, somebody in the infield. I mean, Leland came out yesterday and said that, you know, can we win a championship with Ramon Santiago, Danny Wirth, and Scott Sizemore playing in the infield. And
right.
He's like, probably
right.
Not. And he was just being candid about it, but that's the truth of the matter. So,
right.
You know, whether they get the Drew kid from Arizona, play shortstop, I mean, there's a lot of different directions they can go. But I think at this point, guys, it really depends on how much they're going to have to give up because they don't want to mortgage too much of the future at this point.
We saw Don Kelly make a couple nice plays the other night at third base, but how
right.
much does the loss, the injury of Brandon Inge have to do with their decision?
Well, and that's a good question, Jack. I mean, obviously, you're not going to find a guy who plays as good a defense as Inge does at third base, but they'd like to lock down the left side of the infield if they could, possibly. I mean, they obviously are not comfortable with either Sizemore, who hasn't played there really since his Cape Cod Summer League games,
right.
and Don Kelly, who's a utility guy by trade. I mean, neither one of these guys is an everyday third baseman. So if they can find a way to go out and get a Batista from Toronto, or if they can somehow get Tejada, I mean, I think a lot of fans will be happy with that. Even a Ty Wigington from Baltimore, if they can do that at a reasonable price, I think they would go ahead and do it. But losing Inge at this point, I mean, is a tough blow, especially when you guys consider, I mean, he was starting to hit a little bit. I mean, he had his average up to 260, which isn't saying a lot, but when right. he started at 205 or whatever right. it was, I mean, he had really come a long ways here in the last month or so.
Right, I think he's so 268, that was, so that's not bad.
Yeah, Ryan, Miguel Cabrera, I mean, how shocked are you, and considering what happened at the end of last year and where he's at right now, I mean, your thoughts on that? Did it shock you or what he's, you know, vying for a triple crown here? I think, what was Frank Robinson was the last guy to
Carl
do that?
Carl
Yastrzemski. Oh, yes, yeah. What are the chances of it happening, and how surprised are you that he really turned his whole life around?
Well, I'm not surprised because even here in Leland the last couple of years, he said when this guy is focused and locked in, he's as good as there is in the game. And now that he has eliminated these so-called distractions, if you will, that came along with alcohol abuse and everything else, he's focused 100% on his game, and he's been better with the media. He's been a better teammate. I mean, he's been everything. So you can't argue with what he's done off the field, and you can't argue with what he's done on the field now because of that. I mean, it's just been a remarkable season that he's had, and he has 11 game-winning RBI after his RBI single in the eighth that gave the Tigers the win over the Blue Jays on Thursday. I mean, that means you can single-handedly attribute 11 wins to him alone, which is pretty crazy. And I was talking to some of the guys afterwards, and I said, it's gotten to the point where you almost expect him to come through in those type of situations. And they said, you never want to put that kind of pressure on him, but it really has come to that point where you expect him to come through in those situations. And it's almost like we've become spoiled by it, so to speak, just how good this guy really is. And if he can keep this up, I don't see why, come end of September, we're not talking about a possible triple crown for Miguel Cabrera.
And MVP, and MVP, obviously, along with that.
Yeah, I mean, how could he not be? I mean, at that point.
Ryan Field of FSN Detroit. He is the host of Tigers Weekly and also quite a singer, as we were reminded
really?
This summer. Yeah. especially yeah, under pressure, right?
those commercials are, I get more people coming up to me saying, under pressure, and yes. talking about the Michigan State football game. It's funny how they wanted us to put these little spots together, kind of showing our personality a little bit, kind of, you know, get to know the broadcasters and, you know, our most embarrassing moment, our most difficult moment on the job, and so we had some fun with it, and it's just amazing the feedback that people really get a kick out of that stuff. So as long as it garnered a few laughs, I guess we're okay with it.
Hey, I've got to ask you about one other player, Ryan.
Okay.
Brennan Bosch, is he legit, and how has he done what he's done?
I think, didn't I get a text message from you, Mr. Ebling, a while back regarding that? I did. Well, I mean, he's going through a slump right now. And Leland, you know, and we all knew this, and Leland just kind of confirmed it, that you're not going to be in the big leagues, and he's not going to finish the season with 120 RBI in his rookie year, and he's not going to go through this without some sort of hiccup.
Right.
And that's what he's going through right now. But
right.
if you talk to scouts, you talk to the coaches, you talk to Dave, they're all convinced that this guy is a star in the making. So he's going through a little minor, you know, his first mini slump in the big leagues. His average has dropped down to like 314, I think, from where it was in the, you know, 340
right.
Last couple weeks ago. I mean, he struggled here in the month of July, hasn't hit a home run in almost a month. And so he's definitely pressing a little bit. But, I mean, he's a rookie in the big leagues, and he's definitely turned some heads. And
right.
if nothing else, I mean, you could actually attribute a lot of what Cabrera has done at the plate to Bosch.
Having him behind
because
him. Sure.
Those, yeah, Bosch
yeah.
is sitting behind him, and they're not just, you know, pitching around Cabrera to get to Bosch. They don't want to face Bosch either.
Ryan so, I mean, Field of FSN Detroit, the host of Tigers Weekly. Ryan, great to talk with you again, and we'll see you down at the ballpark and at Spartan Stadium.
All right, guys. Sounds good. Take care.
All right. And unbelievable show that we saw last night during the rainout. If you get a chance to catch Tigers Weekly this week and talk about what happens the day of a game, how it all comes together. We'll be right back with more. Dr. John Braccio up next, The Jack and Tom Show.